instead. Jack decided to take the opportunity to ask the armorer a question that he'd been curious about for some time.
You and Mildred, you together, JB?
That's a category of my business, kid.
Don't call me kid, old man.
Old jokes are still the best.
The clothes and blasters were piled on a bench in a pitch-roofed shed. The wind tugged at the door, and Jack slipped the catch to close it. Ryan picked over the blood-soaked pants and shirt, while the armorer glanced at the rifle and the tarnished handgun.
These are all thermalined.
Yeah. Some of the fuckers carried big coats, like come from real cold place.
Did the man you caught say where?
Didn't know. Nought, all he said. Christina tried real hard to keep him alive, but it's fucking weak from the bullet.
Shitty blasters. The handgun was once a Model 87 Beretta. Looks like it'd blow your hand apart if you pulled the trigger.
Long gun?
Old Marlin bolt action. 7-shot. But it's been chopped around so much, there's not much left they'd have recognized up in New Haven.
He saw that Ryan and Jack looked puzzled.
That's where they made them.
Ryan held up a woolen cap, showing it to JB.
Recognize this?
There was a badge on the front. A small, hand-beaten circle of silver.
The Ruskies. They wore something like that.
Ryan nodded.
I told Christine about that time in Moscow. You remember Zemyanin?
He remembered Zemyanin all too well. They'd met Major Commissar Grigory Zemyanin twice. Once up in the wilderness of Alaska, and once in the muddy roads around Moscow. He worked for the Russian security section. He was one of the strongest men that Ryan had ever met, with the bursting, muscled look of someone who worked out every day and kept himself needle-sharp. Zemyanin wasn't very tall, as Ryan recalled, not much over 5'6", but stocky. He was totally bald, with a face badly marked by smallpox, and he'd worn a long, drooping mustache then. The man had carried a Makarov 9mm pistol, the PM model. And Ryan also remembered the long Dragunov sniper's rifle. It was an exceedingly rare weapon, yet, by a quirk of the Lords of Chaos, it was similar to that used by Ryan's most bitter enemy, the late Court Strasser. Zemyanin had learned passable English between their two meetings, though it was archaic, making him sound like Doc Tanner on a bad day. It had been a freakish accident that had led to Ryan being indirectly responsible for the Russian being in the Deathlands. Now, this man, with his ready smile and his strangler's hands, had Dean Carter prisoner.
Will he know who the boy is?
Let's hope not.
Ryan turned to exit the shed, not noticing the expression of guilt slowly spreading across Jack Lauren's face. Later that night, as Jack and Christina got ready for bed, the albino told his wife of his plans for tomorrow as she removed her footwear. Freed of the weight of the heavy surgical boot, Christina stretched, relishing the cool linen sheets on her naked body.
My responsibility.
Dean is Ryan's son, not ours, Jack.
I know that, but Ryan left him with us.
It wasn't our fault, Jack. They know that. Let them go after him.
In the dim light, she could see the shimmer of her young husband's white hair. He was shaking his head.
Sorry, Christina. Real, real sorry. But I gotta do this.
Mildred reached down over the short hairs of his chest and across the flat, muscular wall of his stomach. She finally found him, cradling him, bringing him gently to readiness.
What's this, John? I can't stand the way you keep bothering me with your incessant demands.
JB rolled onto his side, allowing his own fingers to work their way along the inside of her thighs, higher and closer.
One thing.
What?
Before we get this boat launched into deeper waters, I have a question.
Yeah?
You going with Ryan?
Guess so. If he wants me.
That's what I thought.
JB gave Mildred a puzzled look. She began to caress him again.
I mean, that's what I expected, John. I've got no problem with that. Just that if you do go, promise you'll come back in one piece.
I promise.
Doc was sleeping on his back, on a truckle bed made up in a corner of the larder beyond the kitchen. He was wrapped around in the warm, familiar scents and flavors of his own distant youth. The cheeses and the smoked ham, salted fish and cinnamon, and ginger and strings of dried chilies, red and green. Doc had felt tired in Florida, tired of the oppressive heat, the pressure, and the killing. The endless killing.
Ah, so good to rest, Emily, with my head upon your bosom.
His wife's face was in deep shadow, but he could just see the sunlight as it reflected off the crystal pendant that hung from her slender neck on a thin gold chain. He held Emily's hand, closing his eyes. There was a moment of doubt and fear that some creature would come gibbering from the valley of darkest night, but it was a kind, gentle sleep, and Doc smiled. The old man was content in the embrace of his wife, nearly 200 years dead. In the best guest bedroom, its shuttered window looking to the south, Ryan and Christy lay in each other's arms. They'd been talking quietly since leaving the others. Neither felt like making love, the desolate loss of the boy hanging above the bed like the naked blade of a sword. Christy knew that Ryan would go after Dean. It was just a question of when.
Who'll go with you, lover?
Ryan had hesitated a long time before answering, making her think he'd actually fallen asleep.
Can't say.
All of us?
No, better not. Not Mildred and not Doc, anyway. It's going to be a serious, knockdown, bloody bones fight.
What about me?
Here's what I think is going to happen in the morning.
She could feel the icy touch of fear probing inside her mind.
What?
My guess is that Jack will want to come.
Will Christina let him go?
She won't stop him. He feels responsible for what happened. He doesn't think I know that, but I do.
But he is.
Of course he's not to blame, but he feels he is. Comes down to the same thing. So if he goes, then JB has to stay here to take charge of the place.
Christina won't like that, lover.
Of course not. But she's not stupid. She sees how the wheel turns. Someone has to.
So it'll be you and Jack. Alone.
Just my guess, lover. No point saying I'm sorry or wishing we could all go. That'd be like wishing the pitcher of milk never fell off the table, or the straight bullet didn't puddle the brains of the friend at your side. There's no point in having regrets. But just go and do it, and return here with the boy.
Christy rolled away from him, lying on her left side, offering him her back. Ryan said nothing, waiting. Finally, she spoke again, her voice muffled by the pillow.
One day you won't come back. I know I've said that before, and you're still here. I can't explain it. You and me, lover, we're like two parts of one whole. Take me away from you, and I'm nothing. The same with you. I wake in the night, and I lie trembling at the loss that'll come. You'll die, Ryan.
We all will, Christy. Until then, the man who sits down when he should be up and standing isn't much of a man.
Sure, lover. Doesn't stop it from hurting, though.
By mid-morning, all of the talking had been done. Ryan was second into the kitchen, smelling bacon sizzling in the pan and a pot of coffee sub bubbling on the iron stove. Jack stood by, cracking eggs into a second skillet with one hand while stirring up a mess of hash browns with the other.
Good to see she's finally got you to learn something useful.
Still work out with throwing knives an hour every day, though.
You happy here, Jack?
The white face turned to him, the narrow eyes looking suspicious.
You joking?
Of course not. Just that you seem content here. It's a good place. Christina's a good woman, Jack. You're very lucky.
Man makes his own luck, Ryan.
Jack returned his concentration to the eggs.
Over or sunny?
Over.
One by one, the rest came down to join them. Doc was last, rubbing sleep from his rheumy eyes.
Oh, what a fearful sluggard and lagabed am I. Hope there's plenty of victuals left. I swear I could demolish a horse, hooves and all.
We've only got some pig and some hen fruit, Doc.
Christina was smiling, but everyone could see that she'd been crying not too long ago. Ryan caught Jack's eye across the table.
When do we leave?
The young man looked down at a small wrist chron.
It's just before 7 now. Go at 8.
Christina looked around slowly, her eyes brimming. Then she pushed away from the table and ran out into the bright morning sunlight. JB had joined their council of war, agreeing that this didn't sound like the kind of mission where long guns would be necessary.
Get in close, skin on skin.